chapter 15 tonight, John chapter 15. We're going to proceed with our study through this book together. And I finished the message going through verse number 17 this morning. So we pick up our reading in verse 18. I like just picking up with the next verse and going forward, you know. And we're looking at this together, John chapter 15, verse 18. The Lord Jesus Christ continues his message, and he makes these statements. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love his own. Because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled which that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. When the Comforters come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because you've been with me from the beginning. I can't wait to get to verses 26 and 27. Because it speaks to my heart so much about the love and mercy and grace of God. Tonight I want to draw your attention to a phrase that's used over and over and over again in the opening passage of these verses. You'll find these two words in verse number 18, verse 19, numerous times. The world, the world, the world, the world, the world, the world. And I want to preach to you tonight on the world. I'm not talking about the planet, but I'm talking about what the Lord meant when he talked about the world in this passage. Let's pray and ask God to help us here. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here. And I pray, dear Lord, that you help us to be faithful to you and your word. And would you keep the world out of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? May thy will be done tonight. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. As we continue with this passage, the Lord Jesus has been pouring his heart out to these men, speaking to them about so many precious things. He has spoken to them when we come to this verse. He has spoken to them already about the place that he's going to prepare for them. He has proclaimed himself to be the one and only way, the one and only truth, the one and only life. He has promised them that he will only be a prayer away. He has promised to send them another comforter. He has promised to give them peace. He has challenged them to be a fruit-bearing branch, to love one another as he loved them. But now he speaks to them about another subject. It's the subject of the world. Now I remind you tonight, he's not talking about planet Earth, but he's talking about the world system of unbelief. He's talking about those that are antagonistic against and toward him and against his truth. The world in this passage means the godless society. The ones that want nothing to do with God. If they have it their way, they would say God is dead. They want nothing to do with him. This is the world that the Lord is speaking about in these verses. It is this world, the godless society, those that are antagonistic against him and toward him, and the world system of unbelief that the Lord speaks about. And this world is on full display for our attention. And there are three major things I want to give you tonight concerning the world. And I want you to ask God right now, Lord, help me see this. Help me get it. Help me understand it. May we all leave tonight with a better understanding of the world and what the Lord is speaking about it right here in this chapter. Three things the Lord did with the world, concerning the world. Three things. Number one, He proclaimed the hatred of the world. Look at verse 18 through 22. I'm not going to read that again, but you can read it while I'm explaining this to you. In these verses, the Lord Jesus prepares His true disciples for the hatred of the world. He tells them that if the world hated them, they know that it hated Him before it ever hated them. He explains how they were not of the world, but He had chosen them out of the world. He told them to remember His word that the servant is not greater than his Lord, and that since they persecuted Him, they would also persecute them. Then He said that the world would mistreat them. He says this in this passage here that I gave you, for His name's sake. In other words, they would mistreat His followers because of Him. They would hate His followers because they hated Him. And they would do this, He concludes it in verse number 21, because they know not the one that has sent me. Now in all of this, we see the Lord Jesus proclaiming that the world hates Him. Hates Him. May I say this to you? You can get by saying you believe in God. But when you mention the name of Jesus, the world hates that name. Hates Him. Cannot stand Him. Wants Him dead. Like I told this church before, I remember finding something, I don't know if it was USA Today or whatever the case may be, but they showed a picture of some people that were marching in a line, and a man held up a sign that said something along this line, "If Jesus comes back again, kill Him again. Crucify Him again." I've got news for that man. It's not going to happen, amen. But I will say this, that's what Jesus said. He said, "The world hates me." Now I'm going somewhere with this first point, stay with me. "And therefore it hates anybody associated with Him." He proclaims that the world, that the way the world treated Him is the same way that it will treat His true followers. One man said, "If the world had nothing better than a cross for Jesus, it will not have a royal carriage for His followers. If only thorns for Him, there will not be garlands for us." One man said, "But real vital Christianity always brings a cross." The point is, when we truly follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the world will not be our friend. We can expect to be hated. You can expect to be persecuted just like Christ was. Now get this, the closer that we are to Christ, the more the world will hate us. You know what J. Vernon McGee said? He said, "Beware of a Christian who's popular with the world." It's a great statement. He went on to say, you cannot be popular and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because He is the one who is hated. And if He lives inside of you and you're popular with the lost and dying crowd, if you're popular with them and they don't have any problem with you, there's a problem somewhere. Because the unbelieving world hates Jesus Christ. Friends, there is in vogue today a so-called prosperity gospel. This false gospel promises that God's people will be rich, God's people will be happy, God's people will be powerful, God's people will be successful, God's people will be healthy in this world. If they meet certain conditions, this is what will happen with them. And we're told to espouse prosperity thinking and to embrace the power of positive thinking. My friends, this kind of gospel is far removed from what the Lord just said in these verses. When God seeks to attract someone to Christ, He does not hand a slick brochure offering houses and land and wealth and health and success and security in this world. The Lord didn't do that. The Lord didn't say, follow me and you'll have everything your heart desires. You'll have all the money in the world. You have all the security in the world. You'll be healthy and wealthy. That never came from the mouth of Jesus Christ. But what did come from the mouth of Jesus Christ is that if you follow me, they will hate you like they hate me. They will persecute you like they persecute me. The world hated God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it hates anybody who identifies themselves with him. I told you I was going somewhere with this. I'm starting to get there. Do you call yourself a child of God? Are you truly a follower of Jesus Christ? Has the Lord Jesus been good to you? Has he been good to you? Has he proven his love to you? Shown you over and over, I love you, boy. I love you, girl. I'll do anything in the world for you because I gave my life for you. Are you listening to me? That one who has been so good to me, this world hates him. This world wants to crucify him again. God help me to never worry about what the world thinks about me. God help me to never let the world's philosophy and the world's society and the world's thinking and the world's amusements ever take a hold of my heart, because they can't stand him. But I want to tell him tonight that I love him because he first loved me. He's been good to me. Jesus Christ saved my soul, and this world hates him? Shame on us if we ever let the world influence Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Shame on us if we ever let the world's philosophy and entertainment ever come into this church building. Why? Because that is the system that crucified Jesus Christ. They hate God. May we, in turn, love him with all of our heart. And may we abide by these scriptural admonitions. In 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You start seeing the reason why, don't you? Jesus said, don't you love the world? Let me tell you why. Because the world hates me. And if the world hates him, it's enough not to love it. Amen or not, this, that I'm talking about tonight? Sure it is. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, I unto the world. Just thinking about that verse where the Apostle Paul said, the world is crucified unto me, and I am crucified unto it. Oliver Green shed some light on that verse. I like what he said. He said, in other words, the fellowship existing between a consecrated Christian and the world is the same fellowship that exists between two corpses in a morgue. If we should walk into a room where only two dead men lie, we would find unbroken silence. No activity, no fellowship, because both men are dead. They are dead to each other. The same is true in the Christian life. If we are what we should be for Jesus Christ, we are dead to the world, and the world is dead to us. There's no fellowship between a spirit-filled believer and the unbelieving world. The Word of God teaches that God's children are to be crucified unto the world, and the world crucified unto them. We're not to be friends with the world. We're not to be conformed to the world. We're not to love the world. And one reason why is right here. He said, if they hate you, you need to understand something. They hated me before they ever hated you. And if they persecute you, they persecuted me first. And the reason they do these things is because they don't know my Father. Because he who hates me hates my daddy. He's saying, if they hate me, they hate God. With all this said, here's the point. Let us determine to live for the Lord Jesus Christ like we have never lived for him before. Let us determine that as he looks down here and he sees these unbelievers and this ungodly society and this godless system that can't stand him, that hates him, may he not look at us and say, why in the world would they allow that system to infiltrate their home? Why in the world would they allow that system that hates me to govern their church services? Why in the world would they allow that system that can't stand me to govern their life? May I say this to you? He deserves better than that. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our praise. And in a world where a majority of people are lost, as the Lord Jesus Christ looks down from the portals of glory and sees a lost and dying world for whom he died, and he sees so many people walking back and forth that hate him, may he look down. Glory to God, I'm feeling good right here. May he look down at Gray, Tennessee and see a little country preacher that with his heart is crying out to Jesus, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. You've been good to me, and I love you tonight because you first loved me. Don't let the world sneak into your system. Don't let the world sneak into your life and your home and your mind and your heart. Why? Because it hates your Savior. Don't serve something that crucified him. This is the first point. Harry Ironside said, one thing I'm sure of is that there will never be a Christian in that day, talking about on the other side, who will wish he had been a little more worldly and enjoyed more of the frivolity of the present moment. There will not be one Christian on Judgment Day that will say, boy, I wish I'd have lived for the world more. Not a one. Not a one. But how many of us have broken his heart and said, I worry more about what the world thinks than you? God help us, friends. Number one, what's the first thing he did with the world? He proclaimed the hatred of it. It hates him. And it hates anybody who says they're in his family. It persecuted him. And it'll persecute anybody who identifies with him. Number two. By the way, just wait till point three. I can't wait to get to it, honestly. Number one, he proclaimed the hatred of the world. Number two, he pressed charges against the world. You say, what do you mean? He pressed charges. Read verse 22 through 25. In these verses, here's what the Lord said. He said, if I had not come and spoken to the world, they had not sinned. Now, that doesn't mean that if he didn't come, they were sinless. He's not talking about that. Stay with me. He said, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. Now, what is he saying? However, even though they heard his words and saw his miracles, they still hated him. And they still wanted nothing to do with him. Therefore, he said this, they had no cloak for their sin. You know what the word cloak carries the idea of? There's no more excuses. Because I came and because I spoke to them and because I performed all these miracles that no man could do, and they still hate me. They can't stand me. They are stripped of their excuses. What is he saying here? The point is this. The unbelieving world, at this day, this time, those that he's talking about, and even today, he's saying they have had more than sufficient light given to it to prove that I am truly who I told them I am. They've heard my word. They've seen my miracle. And they still choose not to believe. There's no more excuses for them. Here's what he's saying. I'm pressing charges. I'm pressing judgment. I'm going to take them down. Get this. Because my charge to them is this. They have rebelled against God-given light. He charged them for hating him. Verse number 25. Look at it. Without a cause. They had no reason to hate Jesus Christ, other than the fact that they hated the light. That's it. J. Vernon McGee said, Jesus Christ turned the light of heaven upon the souls of men. Still does, by the way. And whenever one turns on a light, things begin to happen. Do you know that? The rats and snakes and bugs and lizards hate the light and start running all over the room. They like the darkness, but you turn the light on, they're not going to stand there and say, oh, what is that? No, they start running in all directions. It happens the same way, spiritually speaking. They will hate the one who turns on the light. By the way, they will hate the one, whether it's you or somebody else, who's trying to give them the light of Jesus Christ. He said they hated me without a cause. There is no cause to hate Jesus. The cause is the sinful heart of men. Harry Anstride tells a story that illustrates this. He said there's a story told of an African chiefess, a female chief, who happened to visit a mission station. The missionary had a little mirror hung up on a tree outside his cabin. The chiefess had never seen a mirror, apparently, and she happened to look into the mirror and she saw herself, but she didn't know that's her. You understand? And she saw all of her hideous paint and the evil features. She wasn't very pretty, in other words, okay? She gazed at her own ugly, grotesque countenance and she started back in horror and said, "Who is that horrible looking person inside that tree?" She didn't know what a mirror was. She thought that person was in the tree. Who is that horrible-looking person? Oh, they said, that's not in the tree. The glass is reflecting your face. You're seeing you. She couldn't believe it until she held the mirror in her hand. And she said, I must have the glass. How much will you sell it for? Oh, I don't want to sell it. But she insisted and begged until finally he thought it might just be best to go ahead and sell it just to avoid trouble, you understand? She's a chiefess, all right? She's one of the leaders. So he named the price and she took it. Then she said, I will never have it making faces at me again. And she threw it down and broke it into pieces. That's what Jesus is saying. All I did was turn the light on. All I did was show them who they are and who they need to be. But instead of looking at the mirror and saying, thank you for showing me my need, he said, they hate the mirror. And they'll try to destroy the mirror. And this is the system that many Christians allow to affect their life. God, help us, friends. And he goes on to press this charge that they have sinned against the light. That's his pressing charges against them. This is what the Lord charged the world with: ignoring his words, ignoring his miracles, turning against him instead of responding the right way. All he did was simply turn the light on and they rebelled. And this is what he's saying. One man said they willfully sinned against the clearest possible light and were of all men most guilty. One man said, who else had walked on a heaving wave and stilled the tempestuous storm? Who else had changed water into wine or multiplied loaves and fishes to provide a feast for a multitude? Who else had cleansed a leper, given sight to the blind, raised a man that was rotting in his grave? Who else had performed miracle after miracle beyond count? Who else had risen from the dead after being dead for 3 full days and nights in the tomb? This is the record of Jesus alone. Those who constitute themselves as enemies and consequently the enemies of the Father are without excuse, because his word is true. He has proven that his word is true by what he did. And he's saying, if they say no to me, I'm pressing charges on them. They have sinned against my gracious light, and they want nothing to do with it. The unbelieving world is without excuse, and they're against the Lord Jesus Christ without a cause. That's the title of a message: without a cause, without excuse. That's what he's saying. Friends, it is a dangerous thing to reject God-given light. It's a dangerous thing. One man said spiritual privileges carry with them heavy responsibilities. Hebrews 10:29 says, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Luke 12:47-48, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall much be required, and to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. We're looking at the world. Number one, he proclaimed the hatred of the world. It hates him. Number two, he pressed charges against the world. They have sinned against the light that I gave them. But number three, and you get to see the heart and spirit of our great God. Now keep in mind who he's talking about. He's talking about the world that hates him, the world that cannot stand him, the world that persecutes him, crucified him, and would try to crucify him again. And God would have every right to say, I'm finished with it. Amen or not tonight? I came, I died, I rose again, phooey on it. I'm done. But that's not what he did. You know what the third point is? He did proclaim the hatred of the world. He did press charges against the world. But number three, he provided further witness to the world. In verses 26 and 27, after the Lord told him how the world hated him and would in turn hate them, he shares these words with them that are truly amazing. It's challenged my heart. He reminded them that the Comforter was coming, the Spirit of Truth, that's one of his names. And what would the Comforter do? He's just going to tell them about me is what he's going to do. That's what he says. He will testify of me. Along with this, in the next verse, he told his disciples, and oh, by the way, you too will bear witness. Now, what is he teaching here? Get this. He was leaving the world. He hadn't died yet. He's on his way to Calvary. He knows they hate him. They're going to prove it with what they're getting ready to do to him. But he says, when I leave, don't forget what I told you. The Holy Spirit's coming. And he's just going to keep on giving them truth. He's just going to keep on telling the world about me. He's just going to keep on sharing the truth with them. And oh, by the way, he's going to help you to do the same. Now stay with me here. There's different things that could be said here, but here's how God spoke to my heart. Get this. Even though this world hated and still hates him, and hated and still hates his followers, when he went back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to that same world to let them hear the gospel at least one more time. Friends, he did not withdraw the truth, is what I'm saying to you. By the way, if he had of, you and I wouldn't be here right now. And may I say this to you? He kept giving the world the truth through his Holy Spirit living inside of his followers to give them what they needed. Oliver Green put it well, said, the hatred of the world and the hostilities of Christ's enemies could not dampen or quench his compassion toward a lost world. And in this closing verse of this chapter, he continued to encourage his disciples, telling that in spite of the hardness of the Jews with their unbelief and hatred toward him, he would enable them to deliver the message of the gospel and bear testimony to his divine mission on earth. Their testimony would be such as their enemies would be forced to recognize, not as idle words of ignorant men, but as divine, inspired of God. This was fulfilled in a very remarkable way in the first years of Christianity. If you'll study the first seven chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, the book of Acts, you'll see the power of the gospel of the marvelous grace of God. For example, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached a sermon which can be read in 5 minutes. But when he finished preaching, declaring that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, same thing Jesus declared. We read that they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The reason thousands and tens of thousands were saved in those opening days of the book of Acts was because with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. These are men that ran. They fled. Remember? Peter even denied. The world hates Jesus and his disciples have forsaken him. He had every right to die, be buried, rise again, and say, I'm leaving you alone. But I'm not going to do that. When I go, they only think they're getting rid of me because I'm sending the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, and he's going to testify of me. He's just going to keep pressing it on their hearts. And oh, by the way, men, even though no doubt some of them had to think about this, take Peter, who denied him 3 times, but when the Holy Spirit of God came on him, he rose to his feet with Holy Ghost boldness. 3,000 people were saved at one time. Why? Let me tell you why. Because Jesus Christ is a gracious God. And even though the world denied him and hated him, he just kept the light coming. Aren't you glad tonight, friends? What a God. What a gracious God. One man said, a divine person whose dwelling place from all eternity has been at the Father's side, talking about the Holy Spirit, has been sent by Christ to earth to bear witness to him, to be his representative, to be, as it were, his other self. This almighty one, the personal Holy Spirit, armed with the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, has, I like this, this man says, he has invaded this planet. I like that. To exalt Jesus, hinder the working of Satan, rescue souls from hell, energize believers, stand alongside them as their comforter, counselor, companion, empowering them, leading them, using them. No wonder these men, powerless, afraid, and ineffective, suddenly became brave, convincing, and successful. Once the Holy Spirit came, there was no stopping them. I like that. And there's no stopping a Spirit-filled Christian. who gives themselves over to the control of the Holy Spirit of God. And if you're controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, you will not speak in tongues, but you will tell the lost and dying world about Jesus Christ. A Spirit-filled Christian does not draw attention to himself. Amen. It always draws attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason that we can give people the gospel, this lost and dying world, the reason we have that privilege to keep on knocking on doors is because Jesus Christ said, I know they hate me, I'm pressing charges against them, but I'm still gonna keep giving them light. I want the Holy Spirit of God. He's gonna tell them what I've been telling them. I'm gonna let you tell them what I've been telling them. What a privilege, my friends. What a privilege. The point is, we see the mighty grace of God in sending continued witness through the Spirit and believers to this lost and dying world who hates him, wants nothing to do with him. Now, in this passage, we've seen the Lord Jesus speaking about the world. I'm just about done. Stay with me. Three things he did concerning the world was he proclaimed the hatred of it. It hates him. He pressed charges against it. They are simply sinning against the light that I've given it. But he provided further witness to it. He sent the Holy Spirit of God. And he sends his children, empowered by his Spirit, to this lost and dying world. May I close by saying this and giving you a story? Let us be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ in this lost and dying world that he's left us in, that hates him so much they want to crucify him again. But if you know anything about the Word of God, some of those in the book of Acts that trusted Christ were some of the very ones who cried out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. But because he sent the Holy Spirit, he left the door open, and some of them ended up receiving him as their Savior. Should we be faithful to God? Yes. Let me give you this story. I'm done. One man said, the townspeople recently awarded a gold medal to a dog named Fido. Later, they erected a statue in this dog's honor. The word Fido in Italian means faithful. That's what it means, faithful. And this is just the kind of dog that Fido was. A certain man rescued the dog from a river in which he had been thrown and left to drown. It's interesting. This man took Fido home and cared for him. The dog fell in love with him because he saved him, you see. And he followed him wherever he went. Each day the dog would follow the man to the bus stop where the man would catch the bus and go to work. The dog would stay there all day waiting until the man came home in the late afternoon. But one day the man was killed in an air raid on the city. The dog's master didn't come home that night. But the faithful dog stayed at the bus stop and waited for him. Each night, the same thing happened. For 13 years. For 13 years, the dog waited. People kept him alive with food, but he just refused to leave. He's waiting on his master. When the dog died, they erected a monument just in honor of his faithfulness. Friend, Christ has done so much more for us than that man did for Fido. Are we willing to let a little dog be more faithful to a human master than we are to Jesus Christ? You know what I'm praying for tonight? God, help the folks at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, starting with the pastor, to get on their faces and say, God, help me die to this world. And help me live unto you. And I yield my body. May your Holy Spirit testify of you through me to this world who hates you. And thank you for the privilege that you've given me to simply tell the world what you told it when you were walking on it. Are you listening to me? That's why he left us on planet Earth. Are you fulfilling that purpose? The world. May God help us to have the right focus upon it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you'll touch this, that you'll bless this, that you'll guide this. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin the playthrough softly tonight. I never want to let a service come and go without at least giving somebody who may be being dealt with about their soul an opportunity to be saved. So tonight, do you know for sure that heaven is your home? Do you know without a doubt that you're going home to heaven some glorious day? If not, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. You come, respond. We'll be happy to do this. But tonight, in reality, this message was preached to Christians about the world. This world hates your Savior, Christian. Can't stand Jesus Christ. It's because of that, we shouldn't let the world affect us. You understand? We ought to be separate from the world. But at the same time, is the Holy Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to you and saying, you know, I do want you to be separate. Don't let it infiltrate your life. But do you see my grace to it, that I want to keep giving it truth? Do you see my grace that I still want it to learn more about me? I still want to keep shedding light to it? And he said, I'm going to send the comfort of the Spirit of truth who will testify me. And oh, men, so will you be witnesses of me. It'd be great to dedicate ourselves to God, to crucify the world, but to tell the world the gospel of Jesus Christ. May God help us with this. And watch Brother Gary to begin to sing. God is speaking to you about being a better witness, about yielding yourself to Christ, letting him love the world through you. However God's speaking to you about this, as Brother Gary sings, I want you to come. Would you do that? Come now. Would you do it, please? You say, this is it, the world. The world hates God. The world hates the Lord. But he still loves the world so much that in grace he sent his Holy Spirit. In grace, he allows his children to tell the world about him. This is it. This is it. Playing through. We're just about done. Your heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I feel the Holy Spirit prompting me to ask this question. Have you tonight know somebody? Maybe it's somebody you work with. Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a neighbor, co-worker. Have you know somebody that if you had to answer the question, do they hate Jesus, you'd say, I think they do. I know somebody that I think hates Jesus Christ. Would you raise your hand? How many of y'all know somebody like that? Okay. If you got your hand raised, I want you to lower it and look at me a minute. The reason I'm asking you to look at me is because you're not raising it for yourself, okay? You're raising it for somebody else. What's the application from this message? Forget about them. They hate him. There's no hope. That's what they'd have said about some of those people that got saved at Pentecost. You know what it is? Here's the application. See the love of Jesus for them. Does he love them? Yes. What's his will for them? The Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to testify of me. You're going to witness about me too. You know the greatest thing you can do for those people? Pray for them, no doubt about that. But keep giving them light. They'll never believe it, never believe it. Just keep turning the light on. Keep turning the light on. You don't understand, they hate him. He knows that. But they're still breathing. Could he strike them dead if he wanted to? Yes. Why hasn't he? I personally believe it's because he loves them too much. And he wants to give them another witness. Could that witness be you? You say, they'll hate me. That's what he said, isn't it? They'll persecute me. That's what they did to him. But he just kept on giving them truth. Kept on giving them light. I know it's hard. I know it, especially if it's a family member you're looking at me about. I'm not saying it's easy, but see the Spirit of God in this. Tell them again. Tell them again. I believe that's what the Holy Spirit of God says. Tell them again. Tell them again. Tell them again. Why? Because the light is what they need. Amen. I'm going to ask Gary to sing one more verse. Maybe you want to bring that person to the altar. You don't have to, but if you'd like to simply bring that person to the altar and say, God, give me the boldness to tell them one more time. And Lord, you know I think they hate you. But thank you that you love them. And would you show them through me how much you love them? Don't you think that'd be a good prayer to pray? So as Brother Gary sings, I'm just giving you an opportunity to respond here. As he sings, bring that person to the altar. Would you do that? We're just about done. Come on, come talk to God about that person. Bring that person to the altar. Ask God to get a hold of that person. Ask God to show his love to that person through you. Through you. May God help us with this. God help us with this. Show the love of God. Show the love of Jesus Christ. Father, bless it now. I believe you're using this message. And I pray that you keep on using it. Keep on using it. Help us to see that even when we're hated and despised and persecuted, that you still send the light through us. You still want us to tell people about the gospel. You still want us to tell people about Jesus. No matter how the world treats us, help us to do it. And may these folks that these precious people are burdened for, may they be saved. Change their life. Save them. Help them not to go out into eternity hating Jesus. What an awful way to go out into eternity. Bless now, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here. Brother Mike Nash has offered to drive a bus for tomorrow. Thank you, Brother Mike. I appreciate that. If you'd like to come and ride the bus to the courthouse there tomorrow, I'd like to leave around 4:45. Is that okay with you, Brother Mike? 4:45 tomorrow if you're going to ride the bus, because we're going to try to get there a little bit early. So 4:45, again, do not wear red. And wear something, but just don't wear red, okay? All those things. It reminds you of the meetings after church, shut in the nursing home ministry meeting in the blue room. Sunday school teachers and superintendents, I'm going to change the location here, right here in the auditorium. You come right here to the middle. That will be good. Thank you for being here tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming, okay?